Monitor, and you may think April's a month for showers, but Frank Jaxfield hears nothing but sunshine. Sunshine, and whatever the weather where you are, monitor to follow.
Just leave your thermometer here, monitor. Lean back and stay a while, monitor. Here's monitor.
Ah, to be on monitor now that April's here. Hi, I'm Ted Steele. And Monitor's got travel on its mind this weekend, among other things, and we'll soon be heading for a land where the platypus roams and kangaroo and koala bear play. Right after Monitor music by the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah.
bet you didn't know that on June 1st, the official season begins for skiing. That's right, in Australia. And that's not the only unusual feature of the island continent that's gaining favor with an increasing number of American travelers. Monitor's Ron Pabuda found out more from Don Beresford of the Australian Travel Bureau.
How large an industry is tourism in Australia?
It's Australia's ninth biggest export. It runs behind such things as the export of wool and wheat and iron ore and meat, which goes into your American hamburgers to a great extent. But it is ninth, and it will soon be eighth, and is rapidly going up the scale.
So it's a booming industry now in Australia.
It's tremendous. We've got the hotels, we've got the facilities, good internal airline communications, very excellent railroads and bus services to handle the incoming tourists.
How much of its success today and projected success is credited to the American tourist specifically?
Well, at the moment, the American tourist is number two. He comes after in numbers, he comes after the New Zealander. However, in potential, the American will very shortly be number one. Last year, for instance, just under 50,000 Americans from the States came to Australia, and about an extra 73,000 boys from Vietnam took their rest and recreation leave in Australia.
This is a very popular rest and recuperation place for Vietnam servicemen.
Yes, I believe, I've been told by the people who run it in Australia, the American people who run it, that Australia is the most popular place after Hawaii.
More about the attraction of Australia in a moment. Right now, from the appreciation of a place to the appreciation of a person. With the Sandpipers doing the honors. Moments ago, we heard Don Beresford of the Australian Travel Bureau tell about the increasing number of tourists in his country. Monitor's Ron Pabuda asked him what they do after they get there.
Now, what about Australia as a place to visit and vacation? What is its major appeal to the American traveler specifically?
In a strictly tourist sense, it's the unique qualities of the land itself, such things as the Great Barrier Reef, this huge coral reef rampart that's right up the northeast coast of Australia. It runs for 1,200 miles and is the largest thing created by animal life on Earth. Not many people know about this, and it's also perhaps the most beautiful thing on Earth, the underwater coral reef. There's the great beauty, it's a rather stark beauty, of the outback, the desert parts in central Australia, the little town of Alice Springs. It's the interesting life on a sheep station. It's the bursting vitality of Sydney with its glorious harbour, the outdoor way of life that's possible because of the benign climate. It's also the warmth and friendship of the Australians. Australians and Americans get on very well together, naturally, and I think Americans enjoy going there to meet people who are always friendly towards them. This is sometimes unusual for tourists.
If you could finally describe Australia, its land and its people in a couple of sentences, what context would you put it in?
I think that it is a land of the present. It's very exciting at the moment, but it's also a land of the future. It's a land with bountiful treasures of raw materials, and it's near the greatest potential market on Earth, Asia, and it's a wonderful land for development of export industries into this vast potential market.
Mr. Beresford, most interesting, and thank you for being our guest on Monitor.
Thank you.
And we'll be hearing more about the travel scene today throughout this Monitor weekend. We'll also be hearing the worldly wisdom of a swinging philosopher in a moment here on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor, I'm Ted Steele, and here's Frank Sinatra, who was doing his own thing long before some of the kids around today had a thing to do. The way, Frank.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. Thank you.
own Monitor Sports Joe Garagiola. Joe's in the swim this week with the latest natatorial nifty. That's a swimming star.
While certain sports in this country are almost automatic guarantees of fame to the top competitors, other sports offer only comparative obscurity to everyone but the athlete who's been able to completely dominate his sport. Take swimming as an example. Most swimmers do not become well known, but a few do. 40 years ago was Johnny Weissmuller, and until recently, Don Sjolander. Now it seems that swimming is about to have another young man whose fame will spread even beyond the limits of his own sport. His name is Mark Spitz, and he's a 19-year-old freshman at the University of Indiana. Last weekend, on his home campus, he competed in the NCAA Swimming Championships and served notice on the entire sports world that he's on his way. He wasn't exactly what you'd call an unknown before the NCAA meet. He already had 2 world records in the butterfly metric distances and also had 4 Olympic medals, 2 of them gold. In the NCAA championships, a swimmer may compete in only 3 individual events. Spitz decided on the 100-yard butterfly, which he won, and the 200 and 500-yard freestyles, both of which he not only won, but set American records in the process. Before he came to Indiana, Spitz, according to some reports, was the subject of a meeting held by Indiana coach Dr. Jim Konselman. The coach told the other members of the team that there might be some tense moments with young Spitz, and he wanted the other swimmers to head off any problems. It evidently worked even better than the coach hoped. He says now that Spitz is easy to work with and very cooperative. But it's his talent in the water that'll make Mark Spitz a big name in sports. On the subject of that talent, former Olympic champion Murray Rose says, "He always wins by narrow margins. That may indicate that he isn't swimming as wisely as he could in the middle of a race, but it might also explain why he has so much left for those sprint finishes. I guess you'd have to call him a phenom." I guess you would. And there's always room in the sports world for another phenom. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Here comes more of
And it's coming from the Monitor Sports desk. A few late items. Jim Godman of Hayward, California, won the $25,000 first prize in the Firestone Professional Bowlers Association tournament in Akron today. Godman fired 7 straight strikes for a total of 266 to beat 1968 Bowler of the Year, Jim Stefanich, by 38 pins. Former baseball star Jackie Jensen's doing very well in his recovery from a heart attack suffered 10 days ago. He should be released from a hospital in Reno, Nevada in 2 weeks. Jensen, now 42, was the American League's most valuable player in 1958. Brenda Lee prefers Johnny One Time. Well, Brenda, if you play it right, once can be forever.
So he told you that you're the dream that he's been searching for. And he told you that you'd never met anyone like. Thank you.
except for Monitor's travel weekend. For those of you who want to go to hell or to heaven, both places are located in central Poland, a half mile apart. And the stretch of road between the two villages has been given an appropriate name by the local residents. Limbo Lane. Monitor travels everywhere every weekend, and around Safford, Arizona, where the desert is painted and the canyon is grand, we're heard on station KATO. My name is Ted Steele. Fancy have to use the right hand signal when it turns, huh? I'm Ted Steele. This is Monitor, and in a moment we'll find out what happens when a motorist hits the road and when the road starts to hit him back. An unusual driver's test right after music from the match.
Yeah.
do your traveling by auto, the pleasure of the trip may depend less on the condition of your car, or the road, or the traffic, than it does on your own behind-the-wheel personality. Now, that's the theory of Dr. Harry J. Warr, industrialist psychologist, who has developed the driver personality test, which the Pirelli Tire Corporation is giving this week to all visitors to the New York Auto Show. Dr. Warr, exactly what is the test, and how would I or any other driver participate?
Well, to participate, Ted, you'll have to attend the auto show and come to the Pirelli booth. The test is exactly this. We have a personality analysis that we are having people take, which will give us information on auto drivers' personalities. From this information, we ultimately hope to be able to predict driver behavior more effectively and to be able to analyze for an individual what his personality will do and how it will help him or hinder him when he is driving a car.
But, Doctor, since it's a driver's own estimate of his personality, and since we all tend to think highly of ourselves, how accurate is the test?
Well, it's true that we think highly of ourselves, but when we are asked to analyze ourselves and look into the factors that motivate us, we tend to be pretty honest. In our preliminary work, we had 250 people who drive automobiles extensively, such as drug salesmen and persons involved in commuting to work and so forth, take the test, and we found that they were able to react to the test in an honest fashion, and that through the statistics that we developed, the accuracy of the test was sufficient to warrant our trying it in this enlarged environment at the auto show.
Okay, let's put your test to the test, if we may. Now, you have my answers right in front of you. What kind of driver does the computer think I am?
Well, Ted, the computer has told you that your responses indicate that you'll react satisfactorily and that your alertness is a definite aid to you when in driving. In a more detailed analysis of your responses, we do note that you will tend to be impulsive, as all people will be, and that the impulsiveness would come about when you are threatened or frustrated by driving situations. On the whole, the test in the computer has told you that you appear to be a person who drives with restraint and courtesy. That would be a very definite aid to the person who is responsible for his conduct in the car.
You see, Doctor, I did a little bragging.
Okay, well, I think we all should do that.
We're going to get back to this very important subject in just a few moments, and when we do, Doctor, I may ask you a question that might possibly embarrass you. I hope you don't mind.
I'm always asked embarrassing questions, and I enjoy them, so look forward to it.
Roger's career is in full swing again, and this new one should help him to take a long step on the road back.
Round like a circle and a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending but beginning on an ever-spinning wheel. Like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning and the wind's running, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. You follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, where the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world's like an apple, and in the sight of human space, like the circles that you find in the wheels of your mind. Of your mind.
you're a young man or woman, and one of the big questions in your mind is whether to finish your schooling, do yourself the biggest favor of your young and later life. Stay in school. And right now, stay where you are, neighbor, here on the Monitor Beacon.
Dial Plaza 78866 and WNBC Radio will put you in contact. The Sunday evening telephone show that invites you to discuss today's issues with three clergymen. This is Mike Moss. I'm your host. My guests are the Reverend James Crawford, Rabbi Mordecai Waxman, and Father Don Pryor. This week, we will discuss Easter and Passover. Be in contact. Listen to and call WNBC Radio, Plaza 78866, tomorrow night at 9:05.
Hi, I'm Bart Starr of the Green Bay Packers. Football's my game, not speech-making, but I've got something to say about a little boy who lives in your town. He's a boy without a father of his own to take an interest in him and show him how to grow up properly. You could be a big brother to that kid. It only takes a few hours each week, and believe me, it's a rewarding experience. So call your local Big Brother agency or write to Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia, 19103. Thank you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Monitor, I'm Ted Steele, and if what the world needs now is love, here's Nancy Sinatra, who speaks with high authority.
I remember when we were children playing in the fields. I loved you truly even then, and you know I always will. Climbing over great banks down by the cotton gin. Chasing Papa Billy Goat, tearing my petticoat, you cried when I got a ribbon. You cried when my puppy died. Just because I cried, and I thought you laughed, well in my heart, I knew you wanted to cry. And when the truth might have hurt me,
talking to Dr. War, developer of the Pirelli Driver Personality Test. Now, Dr. War, you gave me the answer to my test. All the Monitor hosts took the test. Henry Morgan, Gary Moore, Gene Rayburn, Brad Crandall, and the conclusion was the same for all of them. Now, you're not going to tell me that Henry, Gary, Gene, Brad, and myself all have the same personality, are you?
Well, I think generally that your personalities differ significantly, and I felt from the responses that the computer gave you that there were distinct differences that we could mention. For example, Gene Rayburn was told that he needs to develop a more alert, energetic driving orientation. He describes himself as happy-go-lucky and easygoing, and this might just be a little bit too much of that trait, and if he analyzed this in the automobile, he would operate more aggressively and less happy-go-luckily. Gary Moore, on the other hand, has been told that he customarily keeps his mind on what he's doing and that his alertness is a definite aid to him in this dimension. And Henry Morgan, by contrast, has the need to not allow his moods to influence him while he's driving. So, Ted, I think that you all are different personalities, at least at the wheel.
Okay, Doctor. A driver has taken the test and you evaluated it. Now, how can he use the results to improve his driving and, let's say, the enjoyment of it?
The results of the test fed back to an individual can clue him or cue him as to the needs that he has to control moods, attitudes, and reactions. The test used properly would involve some personal counseling from the person who administered it. And in such instances, we have found that people can benefit by counsel and advice that has an objective basis, such as a test or an inventory, such as we have here.
Your slogan is Know Thyself, Doctor. And I can see how the test helps to do that. But can it also help you to identify the real culprit, you know, the nut in the other car?
Well, the nut in the other car is the same as the nut in your car in these dimensions. If you know yourself, you'll be able to predict what he is going to do under similar circumstances. And in that sense, we think the test could be very valuable. Quite often, it is our feeling that people do not project themselves and put themselves in the other person's place. The nut is always at the other wheel.
Aside from helping a motorist to know himself, do you expect the test to have any effect on future licensing requirements?
We are interested in the possibilities that such a test might be employed when someone becomes a frequent traffic violator in terms of moving violations and accidents.
Do you think, Doctor, that the tests may also bring about some change in the design of the cars we drive?
I think it would be important for the manufacturers to take into account more realistically the personality patterns of people driving cars today. So I would hope that this test might make a small contribution in that dimension.
Thank you, Dr. Harry J. Ward, developer of the Pirelli Driver Personality Test.
Thank you.
Connected, I give you me.
companion question asked by the Peppermint Rainbow. Dr. Donald B. Luria, president of the New York State Council on Drug Addiction and author of the recent revealing book, The Drug Scene, is a man who asks serious questions about one of the big problems of our day. And Monitor believes his answers should be heard by everyone, especially the young.
LSD is, of course, a fantastically dangerous drug. Those who take it, on rare occasions, may commit homicide. There have been a reasonable number of cases of suicide, either inadvertent or intentional. It may cause panic, which can last for hours, days, or weeks. It may cause mental breakdown that requires mental hospitalization for weeks or even years. And if you take LSD today and have a bad trip, that trip may occur up to 3 years later.
Dr. Luria believes the situation is more urgent than ever because research has revealed new and greater dangers.
The major danger is the potential for genetic harm. This is manifested by changes in the chromosomes within cells. Some studies are negative, but the majority of the studies clearly show that if you take LSD today, you are very likely, that is 75% or so, will get chromosomal breaks, which means potential genetic harm to themselves or to their children. The chromosomal break persists, so that if they occur today, they tend to be there months later or even years later. If they occur in a woman and she subsequently becomes pregnant, her child may show these defects, and if the child shows the chromosomal breaks or rearrangements, they are likely to persist for a long period of time. Now, what does this all mean as far as potential medical diseases? In the user, we are particularly looking for a single disease, namely leukemia. That is cancer of the blood cells, which can occur a year later, 5 years later, 20 years later, or 30 years later. There are now at least three well-documented cases of young users who took LSD and subsequently were found to have leukemia. This does not document the association beyond peradventure, but the association is very suggestive. In the child, the children of an individual who has taken LSD before she conceived, we are looking for any kind of mental or physical defect which can occur at any time during the child's life. Furthermore, the child can carry these defects for his or her whole life, manifest no medical or psychiatric abnormality, and then pass these defects down to his or her children and have the defects in that generation. What it amounts to now is that we cannot say how many people who take LSD will demonstrate physical defects or mental defects, and how many of their children will be clearly harmed from their having taken the drug. But what we can say unequivocally is that there is a real potential for genetic harm, and it's going to take us two generations to separate out exactly what the defects will be just from those who have already taken LSD, so that anyone who uses LSD today, except under medical control, that person, with our knowledge, has to be ignorant, foolhardy, or sick, and there's just no other way of looking at it. This is Donald B. Luria for Monitor.
Tomorrow on Monitor, Dr. Luria will discuss the medical benefits which may be derived from LSD legally and under the strictest control of the medical profession. Tijuana brassing his way through Zazuera. Hey, here's a sign of spring. Men's clothing stores across the country are having their seasonal sales this week. One store in Chicago indicated it knew where the real power lies. This sign was in their front window. Money back if your wife isn't satisfied. The Chicago Marriage License Bureau denies it may put up the same sign. NBC News ahead, I'm Ted Steele.